إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin as always in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one true king, the most merciful and the bestower of all mercy, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to guide, then none can lead astray, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses in his infinite wisdom to leave astray, none can guide. And we testify and bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone, without any partners. And we testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was his final servant and messenger, sending peace and blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his wives and his family members and his companions, and all those who tread their footsteps until the day of judgment, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we are now at the doorstep of perhaps the greatest day of the year. Not because of some worldly benefit that it offers, not because it's a sale where we're going to get a good bargain on some clothes or some electronics. The greatest day of the year in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends close to his slaves. A day in which he boasts about them, he brags about you and all of his servants, telling the angels, look at the servants, why are they here? Specifically about those in the plain of Arafah, and we're hoping that we're included in that mercy just by virtue of this special day. That he shows off to his angels, why are these people here? Why did they spend this wealth? Why are they dirty and disheveled and tired? And they say they seek your mercy and they fear your wrath, and he says, you are my witnesses that they are forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst those who earn his mercy in these blessed days. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of those who have made pilgrimage to his house, whether in Hajj and Umrah, and may he write for all those who haven't been there yet, may he write for them an invitation as soon as possible. Allahumma ameen. And now as we are at the doorstep, and the Hujjaj have already begun to gather in Mina, and they're already there, and they're preparing in a few hours to head to the plain of Arafah, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, performing the greatest act of the greatest act of worship, the day of Arafah, which is part of the Hajj. And this day has so many blessings, so many virtues. The day in which shaitan is the most humiliated, the smallest. He has no authority ever, but especially on this day, he's even smaller and more humiliated, the Prophet ﷺ told us. On this day, there is no day during the year in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants salvation to more people from the hellfire. That he writes them off, that they will not enter the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. The day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he has perfected this religion, he has completed it, and that will remain pristine in this fashion from that day, 1400 something years ago, until the end of time. A day in which he says he has fulfilled his blessings upon the believers. A day in which he made an opportunity for all those in Hajj and outside of Hajj to earn momentous reward and forgiveness from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a season of the seasons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we were saying last week, that the Muslim is seeking forgiveness, is performing good all the time, but he seeks out the seasons, specific times and places in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the servant a burst of mercy, even though he's already the most merciful all year round. He's already the most forgiving all year round, but because he knows human nature, He gives us another opportunity after opportunity, Ramadan, then Hajj, then the 10th of Muharram, and so on and so forth, inviting us, commanding us to seek His mercy and then forgiving us. He made Hajj an obligation on everyone that at least once in their lifetime they must perform it, not an option if they are able. And the reward of the Hajj, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, is that there is no reward for an accepted Hajj except Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write it for all of us. Allahumma ameen. There is no one that does this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a command, forces you to do something, and then the reward of that is everlasting pleasure and forgiveness. That is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a few short minutes, let's look at the blessings of this day. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it preference? What should I do? What should it mean to me? Why should I mark out my calendar every year for the day of Arafah and the days of Hajj? First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, like we said, that this day is when Islam was completed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam adina. On this day, I have completed for you your religion, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have become satisfied with Islam as a deen for you. And in the Jews of Medina, they said to the companions, there's a verse in your book that if it was revealed to us, the Jews, if we seen this verse, if it came down in our revelation, we would have made the day in which it came down a Eid, a holiday. We would have celebrated this verse coming down. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked them, what verse is that? They said, it's Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces that this deen is complete, and that He has bestowed His favor upon the Muslims, and that He's satisfied with Islam as a way of life for them. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he told them, I know when it was revealed, and the occasion and the place, and where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was when it was revealed. I was there. I remember that day, it was the day of Arafah, and the only Hajj that he made, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the completion of the religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the Hajj itself, because this was the one and only Hajj that the Messenger of Allah made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now you have all your rituals, you have all the worship that you need, the do's and don'ts, the commands and the prohibitions, because as we know, he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few short months after this. So the deen has been completed. You will never have to search after this. What does Allah want and what He doesn't want? It's all perfectly clear. He has paved the way for you. He has given you the roadmap and the legend, everything that you need. You will never be lost again if you hold on to this. That is a huge blessing. And if you don't think it's a huge blessing, look around in society. How many people bumping around in the dark, tripping over their own feet, causing harm to self and others, looking for the truth. Looking for, why am I here? What should I be doing? What is the purpose of my existence? He saved us from all of that. And there is no distress and depression and hardship harder than not knowing your purpose in life. It is a hole in the heart that no money, no wealth, no desire can fill. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, on this day, the day of Arafah, I saved you from all of that. So we owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanks after thanks after thanks for this huge blessing. We can't belittle it. We can't ignore its weight, its gravity, the immense blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us on this day. He also swore by this day. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us only to swear by Him, the one true creator, but He swears by things that He wants us to pay attention to. Great creations of His, that He wants us to give special care. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ in Surah Al-Buruj, by that which is witness and the witness. And as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the shahid, the witness, is the day of Jum'ah. That's what's being referred to here. And that which is witnessed is the day of Arafah. And he also said, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, and some of the Sahaba interpret this to mean, he's swearing by the Duha prayer, which is an even number, because الشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ means the even and the odd. He's swearing by the Duha prayer, which is two rak'ahs, or an even number, and by the day of Arafah, which is one day. So he is giving us important, he's telling us these days are important. These things are important. Don't just take them for granted. Don't let year after year pass by and the day of Arafah is a normal day. It's not supposed to be like that. This is the greatest day of the year. And this is the third benefit, the third blessing of the day of Arafah is that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَفْضَلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَيَّامِ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. That there are no days greater in the sight of Allah than the 10 days of the Hijjah. And he was asked, what about days like that, meaning 10 days spent in the path of Allah in jihad? And the Prophet ﷺ said, not even that. These days, the worship and the obedience and the repentance that we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than even going out in jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَمَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَفْضَلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ يَنْزِلُ اللَّهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَيُبَاهِ بِأَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ أَهْلَ السَّمَاءِ فَيَقُولُ أُنْظُرُ إِلَى عِبَادِي شَوْفًا غُبْرًا ضَاحِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتِي. And on that day he says, there is no day greater than the day of Arafah. In it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends and shows off, he boasts with his servant. And he tells the angels, look at them coming dusty and disheveled and sacrificing and tired. They all came seeking my mercy. وَلَمْ يَرَوْا عَذَابِي, seeking my mercy and they have never seen my punishment. فَلَمْ يُرَى يَوْمُ أَكْثَرُ عِتْقًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. So he tells them, they're all here seeking my mercy and they have not even seen my punishment. They're doing this out of faith, out of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no day, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the hellfire, grants them salvation, than on the day of Arafah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free our necks from the fire and of all Muslims, Allahumma ameen. Another hadith, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما من يوم أكثر من أن يعتق الله فيه عبدا من النار من يوم عرفة وأنه لا يدنو ثم يباهي بهم الملائكة فيقول ما أراد هؤلاء. In a similar narration, the Prophet added, he asked the angels, what do these people want? Why are they here? Why are they spending their money? Why are they sweating and toiling and crying here? What benefit does this land present to them? And the angels say, they are here only seeking your mercy and seeking protection from your punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, you are my witnesses that it will be granted. These people will not be denied. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write this for us. And another benefit of the day of Arafah, for us who are not in Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that that the fasting of this day, the day of Arafah, expiates 2 years of sin. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith in Muslim, صِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهُ. For fasting the day of Arafah, I hope and I expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will forgive for me the coming year and the previous year. 2 years of sin. So make sure that is tomorrow. Make sure you strive to fast this day to the best of your ability to earn this reward that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. On top of that, like we said earlier, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا رُؤْيَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَوْمًا هُوَ فِيهِ أَصْغَرُ وَلَا أَدْحَرُ وَلَا أَحْقَرُ وَلَا أَغْيَرُ مِنْهُ فِي يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. There is no day in which shaitan is little and small and insignificant and humiliated more than on the day of Arafah. What does that mean to you? Shaitan is constantly attacking you, constantly whispering. You feel that temptation and you feel that pull constantly in your life. And you're slipping up time and again. And you're wondering why you're not able to overcome. This hadith is for you. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, on this day, tomorrow, he's tiny and insignificant. He has no hold over you. You can break him. You are free. You are on the side of something so much bigger, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this day he's making a public announcement, all is forgiven, all dua is answered. You are being brought closer. And shaitan couldn't be any smaller. Telling you that through the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just the Hajj, but just by being a Muslim, shaitan is nothing. You can overcome, you will overcome, you will persevere by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said in another hadith, the only day in which he was similar in this condition is on the day of Badr, when Jibreel alayhi salam came down himself and had pleaded against the disbelievers in the battle of Badr. On that day shaitan turned and ran. And likewise he will turn and run from you because of your strength and your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also taught us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاء دُعَاء يَوْمَ عَرَفَةً وَخَيْرُ مَا كُنْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The best dua, if you're going through difficulty, if your finances are not falling through, if you're struggling with debt, if you're struggling with illness, whatever you need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah is telling you the best day for dua is tomorrow. Raise your hands and pour your heart out. You are speaking to the most generous, the most knowing, the all-powerful. There's no situation he can't change. There's no difficulty that he can't lift. There's no sin he can't forgive or won't forgive. What is holding us back from asking? How come we ask the manager, and we ask the cousin who has wealth, or we ask the one who has authority, or the one who has connections, and we ring their phone time and again, and they get annoyed, and they purposely reject sometimes because they're busy or for whatever reason. But the one who commands us to keep calling, the one who gets angry when you don't call, the one who leaves no hand empty, we shy away from calling him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's telling us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best day for dua is tomorrow, the day of Arafah. And the best thing that I've said, me and the prophets before me, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu ala kulli shayin qadir. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone without any partners. To him belongs all power and all dominion, and he is over all things capable. And the scholar said, if you look at this, he's saying the best thing I ever said for this day, and in general as a dua, is this. There is no request here. You're not saying, oh Allah, forgive me. You're not saying, oh Allah, give me. It's saying there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the one true supreme king and owner of all that exists, and he's capable over all things. The dua is implied. It's implied in you acknowledging who he is, that you're acknowledging who you are, and what you need, and that he's the only one that can give it. And by that, it becomes a dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing like it. The connection that he gave you through dua, that you need no middleman, you don't need a sheikh, you don't need to be in wudu, you don't need to be facing the qibla, even if all these things help, but in whatever situation you are, dua is available. In whatever situation you are, dua can be accepted. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about if you are in wudu, facing the qibla, in the masjid between adhan and iqama, having just finished a good deed, given in charity or prayed, on the day of Arafah, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reject a dua like that? Sincere from your heart, begging, crying, pleading. Believe firmly in your heart. Have hope, firm hope, that he will not reject that dua. That he will not leave you empty-handed. That it is impossible that he will reject you. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the day of Arafah that we were taught. On top of all these benefits and these blessings and this encouragement, we see more paths to acceptance. We see glimpses of how to do Arafah right by looking at the story of those before us. If we look at the righteous, their condition on the day of Arafah, we already spoke about the Messenger of Allah last week and how he spoke to the people and how he made dua for hours. That slightly after Dhuhr, after finishing the khutbah and the Dhuhr and Asr prayer, he raised his hand by the Mount of Arafah and did not stop until Maghrib. At least 7 or 8 hours straight of dua. And we mentioned a little bit about the companions. And if we look about the righteous before us, we see they followed the same mold. If you want hints about what to do, what to say, the attitude to have more importantly, look at what they did. We have a narration of Mutrif ibn Abdullah and Bakr al-Muzani, two scholars of this ummah in the early generations, that they gathered on the day of Arafah and they were heard saying, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma la tarudda ahla al-mawqif min ajli. Oh Allah, do not reject this huge gathering of people pleading, this huge honorable gathering because of me. Look at the humility. This is how you approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. He knows about the blessings of the day of Arafah and how Allah doesn't reject anyone day of Arafah and everyone is saved on the day of Arafah, and he feels that this will all cancel out because of my sins, because of what I've done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this brokenness because it's a reality. It's not pretentious, we're not making it up, we're not trying to put on a show for others. If you really believe this, as we all should, that we are the lowest, we're the most sinful, we're the most needing forgiveness, of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not reject this and he accepts it because it's a reality. And it's also narrated that Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah, that he saw the people glorifying Allah and making dua on that day and crying. So he said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ صَارُوا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ فَسَأَلُوهُ دَانِقًا. What do you think if this, if everyone you see here crying and pleading, and for those who've been there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write it for everyone and accept it, Allahumma ameen, you see how quiet it is. Immediately after the khutbah, by a few moments, people begin to settle down and it's pin drop silent. People pleading, people making dua, some in groups, some individually, until Maghrib. It's a gathering like no other that you'll never experience before or after it. So he's seeing all this and he says, if all of these people gathered together and pleaded this way to a man for 1/6 of a silver coin, like a penny, 1 cent, all these people pleaded with one man for a penny, أَكَانَ يَرُدُّهُمْ, will he reject them? If a rich man had a penny and 500 people wanted just that penny, would he say no? So of course the people said there's no way he would reject them, the way they're pleading and the little that they're asking for, they would be granted the request. So he said, وَاللَّهِ لَلْمَغْفِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْوَنُ مِنْ إِجَابَةِ رَجُلٌ لَهُمْ بِدَانِقٍ. I swear, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of them is less significant, is easy, is less of a deal than for that man to give them a penny. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has encompassed all things. It fits, everything fits inside the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only place that it doesn't touch is the heart that rejects. The heart that willingly chooses, knowingly chooses to walk away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And it was also narrated about him as well, Fudayl ibn Iyad, that he was seen secluded on his own, pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying, and the dua that he was heard repeating was, وَسَوْأَتَاهُ مِنْكَ وَإِنْ عَفَوْتَ. What a great shame, how ashamed I am in front of you, even if you forgive me. Because he's so ashamed for even disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mind and his mentality and the state of his heart is beyond just asking forgiveness for his sins. He's saying, what is my shame for what I did, even if you forgive me? I'm still ashamed. So the humility, the state of heart that we need to have on this day is greater and more important than what you actually say. You might not find the words. You might be confused. You didn't memorize as much. But know that the state of your heart, the humility that you come to with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be that much greater than what you actually say. That someone could memorize the hadith and the dua and say them as the Prophet taught them. But if your state of heart is more humble and more sincere, your dua is more likely to be accepted. You're more likely to be forgiven, even if you don't say as much. So put that in mind and work to put your heart in the right place. Get rid of distractions. Remember your sins. Sit down and think about your past, about the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown you and continues to show you. It was also narrated that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he came to Sufyan al-Thawri on the afternoon of Arafah, and he found him sitting on his knees in the dust, crying. And he told, and so Abdullah ibn Mubarak asked Sufyan al-Thawri, من أسوأ هذا الجمع حالا? Who is the worst person today? On a day of huge blessing, on a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so openly and forgives so easily, who is in the worst condition? So Sufyan al-Thawri told him, الذي يظن أن الله لا يغفر له. Who is the worst condition today? The one who thinks that today, even with all this, he will be rejected. That Allah will not forgive him. So know in your heart, believe and hope in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a list of the people you care about. Make a list of the requests, of the needs, of the difficulties you're going through. And know that there is nothing greater that you can say that is greater than acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness and greatness and power. Because through acknowledging that by your tongue and your heart, He will give you everything that you need. وَقُلُّ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of the Hujjaj in this blessed season that He decreed for us a Hajj in which He forgives with it our sins and accepts all of our good deeds and accepts us into Jannah. Allahumma ameen. A few quick reminders regarding the day of Eid, quickly. Some recommendations. First and foremost, make it Eid. Make Eid, Eid. Don't make Eid just any other day. If you can take off from work, try your best to do so. If you're unable to, it's just not possible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your condition. But if it is a slight inconvenience, do that for your family. Do that to show them that Eid means something. It's not just another day. Make sure that Eid is felt by every member of your family, whether it's by a gift or taking them out or buying them new clothes. Make sure that they feel that Eid is Eid. Especially in a society where we're the only ones doing Eid. It's not like back home for some of us, in which the entire neighborhood is doing Eid, whether you do it or not, they'll find someone to enjoy with, they'll feel the festivity. That's not the case here. That's your job. This is a ritual, a sacred day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure they feel that and they see that in the way that you act. Make sure that the morning doesn't begin with a fight or an argument over when we're going or what time we're leaving or what you're wearing. Try your best, fathers and mothers and children alike, to make this day a harmonious day. We wake up with the glorification and the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we go to the Eid Salah, which is a worship in of itself. We listen to the khutbah, we make the prayer, we shake each other's hands, we hug and we kiss, and we exchange gifts. And we try to make something special out of the day. That takes a lot of effort, but know that none of that effort is for entertainment, just for the sake of fun, change of pace or change of atmosphere. It's a worship. You're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're teaching your family to do the same. Second is to know some of the sunan. And there are many, you can look them up at your own leisure, that you go to the masjid with one path and you go home with another path. It's just following the sunnah, copying the practice of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to wear good smell for the men and new clothes for everyone, to greet one another with the greeting of may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you, taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum, from you and from us, to give gifts, to wear good clothes, to make takbirat all throughout the 3 days of Eid, up until the end of the third day at Maghrib, to sacrifice if you're able to. If you have not already planned to sacrifice, and to spread the meat amongst your family and your friends and the needy. And lastly, to beware of prohibitions. It doesn't make sense that we're celebrating everything that we just said, the bounty and the forgiveness and the preference that Allah gave us, and we celebrate all that by disobeying Him. That does not make any sense. It contradicts everything that we've been saying. So if we use Eid day as an opportunity to engage in haram things because they are fun or entertaining, what did we get out of Eid? What did we get out of Hajj? What are we doing? Are we celebrating the day of sacrifice, as it's called, Yawm al-Nahr? Because we love to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Because we love giving up stuff that we like if we know it displeases Him. Does that make sense if what we're doing on that day is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So keep that in mind. Do your best to advise kindly, to advise with a smile, to keep ties with your family, to make it a pleasant occasion. And lastly, I just want to mention so that we do not do zulm to our brothers and sisters, that it must be mentioned the situation in Kashmir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Muslims their relief. If you do not know about the situation, please go read about it. Read about its history. Learn about the suffering of hundreds of thousands of Muslim brothers for 7 decades while the Ummah is asleep. We spoke about this last week, how he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the sanctity of Muslim life is more sacred than the entire existence, more sacred than the Hajj days and the Hajj lands and the Kaaba itself. We can't forget that sanctity. We can't, the share that our brothers get of our aid is just a scroll or a share or a sad face on Facebook. That's not enough. See if you can call your representative and tell them to take a stand that you do not agree with what's going on. Maybe write a letter. There's a protest in New York. If you believe in the process, there's so many things to do, and dua is not the least of them. Dua is not passive. You are pleading with the most powerful, with the all-aware, the all-knowing. So remember your brothers and sisters in Kashmir and all over the Muslim world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief and victory. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al-ahya'a minhum wal amwat. Allahumma arna al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'ah. Wa arna al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك. ربي آتي نفوسنا تقواها زكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. صلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أقم الصلاة.